Okay, deep breath. It's Pentecost Sunday, which is a great day to begin something new in the church because Pentecost creates possibilities. Now, I'm new, and if I were in your place, I'd see this and I would wonder, you know. It's kind of natural. I know it's a little rude to ask, so probably you won't ask, so I'll go ahead and tell you. Yes, I use hairspray. So. It's one of those things that I'm not proud of, but is necessary, and partly because I want to make a good impression. I want you to like me. That's one of my habits, my hang-ups, one of the things that makes me feel good, but also one of those things that's kind of dangerous. So I deal with that, and so that's who I am. I tell my sons that I'm normal, and I think I'm pretty normal. As a matter of fact, I would say that I am the epitome of normality, that I am so normal it's almost abnormal, that the one thing I excel at is being normal. And my sons look at me and they say, "Dad, you're weird." We have three boys. Just a little bit about us, and you may have heard I'm from Alabama. If not, you will this fall, so you might as well go ahead and be prepared. So, I'm trying to lay off the Kentucky jokes, although there's so many of them. So, we have three sons married. My wife's Melinda. She's with me this morning, so glad to have her, which she will always be for the most part. Again, to be honest, I have fears as I come in to be the pastor, that I won't be good enough, that I won't preach well, that I will not be the kind of leader that the church needs. And so I bring those with me. That's part of who I am. And I think as a church, probably you have fears too about some of that comes from our past and things that have happened to us, how we get to this place. Some of that is not always pretty. Some of it is not exactly probably what God intended, but this is where we are, and this is where God meets us. And Pentecost creates possibilities from this place. There are things that God will do among us that will be unusual, that will make us believe in His promises. Being normal is kind of a struggle for me as a Christian, you know, because being a Christian isn't really normal. Because God calls us to this life that is about abandonment and surrender and sacrifice and love for others that we don't really see modeled that often other than among other believers. God calls us to this life, and to be honest, you know, I really struggle with whether I can live that life or not, whether I can be a good Christian, whether I can be the person that God intended for me to be. Pentecost creates possibilities, not that we have to be that person, but it's an invitation to the possibility and the opportunity for us as individuals and as a church to become the person that God intends for us to be and desires for us to be. It's His offer to us. Now, when I talk about being normal, I actually have documentation to prove that. I'm not going to ask Melinda to give witness to that, but I have other documentation. When I was in the third grade, our report card had 12 areas that you were graded on in academics, and it had 7 areas that you were graded on in terms of character and performance. And so there were 6 grading periods during the year, so you take those 12 and 7 is 19 times 6 is whatever that is. And in each category, there were 3 things you could be marked: below average, average, or above average. And in every category, in every 6 grading systems, I was average every single time. I don't know if that's something to be proud of, but it documents that I'm pretty normal or average. And then we have this documentation that says 2 things: that God is not normal. He's pretty weird. He is not like us. And documentation that says We are not average or normal either. We are loved with this unbelievable love that cannot be measured or imagined. You see, God, we tend to tame him and kind of, you know, put him in the yoke so that we can use him, as if we can domesticate God for our purposes. And that's the most dangerous thing for us to do, and it causes us to miss the call that God has on our lives. Pentecost reminds us that God does what he wants to do, but it also reminds us that what he wants to do is to inhabit his people. That this God that we read about in Scripture is not the God we expected him to be. He is a God who, the Word says, kneels down to love his people, who becomes flesh so that he can seek and save what's lost. A God who pursues his people across all the pages of the Old Testament and becomes flesh in the New Testament and touches lepers and eats with sinners and who walks the streets that we walk and who abides with us and lifts up children and heals the sick and raises the dead and tells us over and over again that God is for us and with us. That this God, who is the God of the universe, who we think of as far away and separate from us, is actually the God who breathes the same air that we breathe, who inhabits the same space that we inhabit. And Pentecost reminds us that God is here creating possibilities. And I don't know about you, but I have struggled with my faith. I have doubts and questions. And I ask God to do things in my life and make me different, and it don't seem like he's doing it very quickly, if at all. But Pentecost tells us that not only does God care for us, but he draws near to us. That he invades the space that we inhabit. That he lives with us in order that the opportunity is ours to experience a new life. It's interesting, in the first chapter of Acts, Jesus tells his disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem until they are empowered to be his witnesses. And I come from that old school where witnessing meant going door to door and knocking on people's doors or going to the beach and witnessing to people and sharing the four spiritual laws. And witnessing was a terrifying thing to me because I tend to be a little shy and not very outgoing. So that was always awkward for me. And it also felt pretty fake to do that. But if you read the story, well, that's not what Jesus is talking about, us being his witnesses. Remember in John when Jesus is talking to his disciples before he's crucified and he washes their feet? You know, God washed their feet. And he tells them that I'm giving you a new command. And my new command is that you love one another the way I have loved you. That's one of those things that I'm not sure I can do, but that's what he tells us to do. Love one another the way I have loved you. And people will know that you are my disciples because you love one another. So how do we testify? What is our witness? Our witness, he says, is the way we care for each other. Now, if you look around, there's some, y'all look pretty normal, with a few exceptions. The old saying is everybody's normal until you get to know them. So that may be true here too. But if you look around, there are some people that are going to be pretty easy to love. And there are going to be some people who are going to be pretty hard to love. I may be one of those people. I don't know. Usually the people who are hard to love don't know it. So we don't have to tell them. We can just go ahead and love them anyway. But the testimony is the way you love each other. And so then we have, so Jesus says, people will know you're my disciples by the way you love each other. And then he's crucified and he's resurrected. And he says, wait until the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then you will have power to be a testimony, to show who I am. And we think, you know, the Holy Spirit comes down and there's this great wind and there's tongues of flame and they speak in languages. And we tend to think that that's what testimony looks like. This stupendous, miraculous, sensational moment when God appears. And then Peter gets up and he preaches and 3,000 people are saved. And we think that's what it looks like to testify, to stand up in front of people and tell them about Jesus. But I think the testimony is in the next verses at the end of chapter 2, when it says that they were all together and they shared meals together and they had fellowship together and they prayed together. And it said there was not a single person among them who had a need. They sold, they gave up their savings accounts, they did whatever it took in order to care for each other. And then at the very end of the chapter it says, every day people were being added to their number. That was a testimony that changed the world that they lived in. That's the testimony that I believe God is calling us. Pentecost creates the possibility that we can love each other. You remember the story, it says that there were people from Egypt and Arabia and from Rome and all parts of Judea. There were Medes and Elamites and Parthians and things we can't even name. And they came together, they crossed barriers, and they climbed over all these obstacles between each other, and they found ways to love one another. The Holy Spirit creates the possibility of us being that kind of people. No matter where we come from or what our past has been, we are invited into that kind of miracle, that God exists among us. You know, there's always been an interesting thing about that. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, it says that 3,000 people were converted and became part of the church. But you know what? Not a single one of them is named. We don't know one single person who was converted on Pentecost for sure, other than the disciples. I think they were probably ordinary people. Probably in the third grade, they got one of those report cards like I got. They were just normal, ordinary people who were filled with the Holy Spirit and found ways not to stand up like Peter and preach in the streets, not to perform miracles like this that the apostles did, to heal the sick and raise the dead and do those kinds of things. But they found ways to sit down at the table together and to care for each other's needs and to be the church of Jesus Christ. That's the miracle that occurred. And if you read the story, they spread out. They got persecuted and they were chased out of town. But before that, it talked about, it says that same thing about them again later on in Acts, about how they shared their lives together. And day by day, people were being added to their number. This miracle, you know, sometimes I want the miracle to be that I get it right. That I become the Christian that everybody else wants to be. So that I'm the model. I'm the example. So that everybody knows how holy I am. And that's also my greatest fear, that everybody figures out how holy I am. But the miracle is that we are invited to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We're invited into a story that God is writing, that He has created through the death of His Son and the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son. And God loved the world so much that He gave His Spirit to create the church, who became salt and light in that world, to draw men and women to Christ. Not by our holiness, not by how clean our lives are, although not by reading our Bibles or praying or doing all those things. But Jesus said they will know your testimony by the way you love each other. The Holy Spirit creates the possibility that we can love each other and we can love the world. When they got scattered and pushed out of Jerusalem because of the persecution, they went out telling the story to everybody they met. There wasn't anybody that they said, nah, I don't think so. They're not like us. We don't want to be part of them. And again, this is my own fear. I have prejudices, and I have fears of being awkward or uncomfortable. And so it's easy for those barriers and those rivers to separate us. But the Holy Spirit enables us to love the person across the street from us, across the table from us, across the aisle from us, in ways that demonstrate to the world that something unusual is happening. Pentecost creates the possibility of us experiencing the life as individuals and as a church that God intended for us. The God who loved us so much that he gave his son, that we experience the life that God intended for us, the God who loves us more than we can hope or imagine, the possibility and the opportunity to experience that. It's probably not going to happen in a moment, but who cares? It's probably not going to happen this week, but who cares? We're invited into this story that unfolds. And there's going to be some rough patches. There's going to be some times when we really mess up. And sometimes when we really, really mess up. There's going to be some times when it's hard. I mean, really hard. So what? We're part of something that is worth being part of. We're invited into a life that is bigger than the measure of our days or our moments. Pentecost creates the opportunity and the possibility for very ordinary people to experience the life of Christ and to share it with each other and to share it with our world. You know, we already do some pretty strange stuff. I mean, it's raining today, so you can't go play golf or go to the lake, so you might as well be here, kind of, right, you know? But you could be home reading a Dean Koontz book or watching TV or, you know, doing something, getting the house cleaned. But here we are. Maybe we know why we're here. Maybe we don't. Maybe we understand that we're here because God loves us and invited us, because that is why we're here. And we're fixing to, is that something they say around here? Okay. We're fixing to. We're getting ready to. I don't know how you translate that into regular language. We're fixing to come to the table, and we're going to eat a little piece of bread and have a little sip of juice, because we are reminding ourselves that there are possibilities that exist because Christ lives in us. Pentecost is God giving his life to us to live in us. This is our opportunity. This is a reminder. And you know, it's a strange combination of something that we do all the time. It's really kind of ordinary. And most of the time when we come down and we do it, you know, we don't get the chills down our back, or we don't feel like the heavens opened up or anything like that. And that's okay, because that's where God meets us, in those ordinary, normal moments inhabited by his Spirit who lives in us. And so as we celebrate communion this morning, it reminds us of how the Spirit is present with us. Remember that Christ lives not just around us, but in us. He invites us to come. And the invitation is to anyone who wants to come. If you believe in the possibility that God loves you, you're invited. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a member of any church. But if you believe in the possibility of God's love for you, then you're invited to come. The way I'm going to invite those who are helping this morning to come. We practice